Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 86. I'm Mike. That's Doug.
Oh.
Dude, feeling better?
Dude, this has been brutal.
Yeah?
This has been brutal. I feel worse than Peyton Manning right now.
An undisclosed upper body injury still plaguing you, dude.
Where's the NyQuil?
Yeah, it's around here someplace.
I'd like to thank the listeners for hanging in with us this week. I apologize for being down for the count, but we're back, and we're badder than ever.
Yes.
The dudes are here, and we have a lot to talk about this week, but can we just kick it off with the Super Bowl?
If you must.
Dude, what a great game. I'm sure you watched it.
Nope, not at all.
Dude, how do you not watch the biggest sporting event of that Sunday?
It's easy. I don't care. I just don't care.
You know that my parents have taken my 89-year-old grandmother to Las Vegas for the first time.
Wow.
This weekend.
And Olympic Gardens?
Dude.
Sorry.
That is so cool.
I know.
No, dude. They're
we
not...
both know that place is closed anyway.
Dude, they are not. That is a horrible thing to say. They actually are going to see your favorite duo, Donnie and Marie.
Oh.
I bet you thought I was going to say Penn and Teller.
Yeah. I was thinking of a lot of duos I like better than Donnie and Marie.
But I sent my dad with a little cash money.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping maybe to make a hockey bet tomorrow. So maybe I might call you up, dude.
Okay.
Get some expertise.
Good times.
So hopefully the dudes listeners will be thinking some good karma. Speaking of good karma, thank you, Patrick Marleau.
Yeah, thanks. Wow. Detroit game. First order of business. Of course, we'll talk about the rest of the road trip. We have a truckload of questions from you listeners. Thank you for those. And of course, we'll be talking about the Nicholas Vahlin trade, but we have to start with Detroit.
That's right.
Because it's a huge game. It had a real playoff atmosphere. It was very hard fought. The Sharks seemed to be behind in most of the statistical categories. They had a 2-1 lead thanks to Dwight Helminen.
That's right.
Of all people. And then who scored the tying goal? Jason Williams on a goal that they didn't immediately recognize as a goal at the time. So quite a bit of ups and downs there for the Sharks. What's your overall impression of the game, dude?
Well, dude, a wise man once told me, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and then you have the facts of life.
Uh-huh.
The facts of life, dude.
Right.
And sometimes you got to win games like this,
yeah.
You know? And I think we were both sitting there fully 100% expecting to lose the game.
Absolutely.
We even said, as in between the second and third period, as we went to have some delicious pizza, by the way, Sal's and Campbell. But, dude, we said if the Red Wings tied it up in the third period that we were cooked.
Yeah.
That we were done. There was just no way we're going to be able to hang on. And Nabby pulled out a little bit of magic tonight.
He did. He did. He played well again. He played well in the Nashville game. He played well tonight. Well, let's not take away from Thomas Greiss. He's been playing pretty well as of late. But gosh, man, it's just, how does Detroit just pick it up against the Sharks? Because you look at the record of the Detroit Red Wings, and it's frankly not that impressive. They're not even in the playoffs.
They're bored.
Is that really what it is?
I don't know.
I think
for the most part, they've been really, really banged up this year. So they've been playing without major pieces of their roster for most of the season. And, you know, now they're starting to come back together. It's going to take them a little bit of time. And I think, unfortunately, for the other Western Conference teams, they're going to find their stride right when it matters most.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whereas for the Sharks, you know, it's sort of that question, which I know we'll get to later in the show, is, you know, what do we need for playoff success? And are the Sharks just a regular season mirage? But for tonight, and also in the Toronto game, you know, those were two games that statistically they shouldn't have won those games, but
yeah,
they did. And usually the Sharks are on the wrong side of that equation when they're always outplaying, out shooting teams by a mile, and some hot goalie comes in and robs us. Well, we've done it twice on this trip to the other team.
That's right.
Which is a good feeling.
Yeah.
It is. Because we're usually on the other side of that. I mean, we saw that happen to us in the playoffs last year, dude.
That's right. All the games, and I don't remember the Sharks getting extra points from the media or from our listeners or from anyone because they outshot the Ducks in most of those games and outplayed them in most of those games and still lost. So that means tonight is a pretty gritty win. We saw great performances from Ryan Clough. We saw Scott Nickel hitting people. We saw Joe Thornton a little bit more physical than I remember.
Oh, Ryan Clough, yeah, was really angry tonight.
Which is nice.
Yeah, he was a little bit fired up. I was surprised to see Erickson drop the gloves with him. But
yeah, me too.
It was a pretty good scrap, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Not nearly as good as the Jody Shelley Colton Orr scrap in Toronto, which is probably Shelley's best punch in 3 years.
Yeah, 1-2, buckle my shoe. Good night.
Yeah, good night now.
Colton Orr, see you later, yeah. Mr. Sub.
See, that's why sometimes these scraps look like nothing bad's going to happen, but every now and again, you see one of those punches from Jody Shelley, and he rocked Colton Orr, dropped him right on the chin, man.
How important was this win tonight for the team?
It was big. It was really big. The fact that it's a shootout win, I mean, I would have liked to see them win 2-1 in regulation, but the fact that they got 2 points, Detroit is so far behind. Giving up a point to Detroit isn't a huge problem at this point. So I'm glad to see them win, especially at Joe Louis Arena, where the Sharks have traditionally done terribly.
What is up with those fans standing up?
Yeah.
And blocking the camera? I've noticed it for years, and I've never really gotten a full explanation. Maybe Wings fan in Sharks land, or yeah. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah. Stand up and account for the D-bags that just stand up and face the camera.
What is like, that?
You know, 13 minutes left in the second. You know, puck comes in the Detroit end. Guy stands up, faces the camera. Woo! What the hell is that about?
I can't quite figure it out. So we're going to rely on you to type in and tell us what's the story with that.
Cause yeah.
Kind of bugs, actually.
Yeah,
it takes away from the credibility of these great hockey fans,
right?
You know,
it does.
That are such tools that they must turn around and not watch the game,
right.
and wave hello to their mothers.
That's right. Wave hello to the fans in San Jose.
But you want to touch on the other games real quick, dude?
Sure, dude. I mean, Nashville is a good win. Nashville and St. Louis wins against teams that we should win against. It's funny because, you know, people don't like the fact that we can't win against good teams, but we consistently beat the teams we should beat. And looking at a team like, oh, I don't know, Detroit, who have recently lost to Minnesota, they've recently lost to Phoenix, the Kings twice, Dallas, and the Ducks. This is a, you know, and this is in the past month. Detroit has lost to all of those teams. I would take wins against teams that we should beat and play hard-fought games against tough teams. That's what you want, right? Isn't that the situation?
I'd like to win them all.
Of course.
Dude, yes, I guess. I think what we're never going to... We can go back and forth on this until April when it matters. And I think that's going to be the problem is, you know, with the Sharks winning these... Beating the teams they should beat... You know, but then they run into roadblocks against the better teams and, you know, play them tough or sometimes just get completely slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's going to happen when April and May rolls around and those are the only teams that are left and the Minnesotas have long packed up to the Bahamas?
Bahamas. That's right. That's the truth because, to be perfectly frank, and although we are both Sharks fans... we like to give you this great scoop here on Dudes on Hockey. Detroit was the better team tonight. There's no question.
There's no question.
They looked better.
They've been the better team in all four games so far this year.
That's true. It's true.
And that's discouraging. And I'm not sure what needs to be done. You know, I think we have a definite opinion of what still is missing from the team. But what do we need to do to continue to take the next steps, dude? You know, how can we get past Detroit? I mean, are we just hoping they won't be there? Or does that sort of take some of the shine off of making it all the way? I guess it doesn't care. If you're going to win a cup, you're going to have to catch a couple breaks here and there. And maybe having Detroit being out of the way will be that break for the Sharks. But we'll see, dude. I'm certainly looking forward to seeing their effort in Buffalo to see if, you know, our 8 Olympians are going to be mentally checked in or if they're already going to be checked into their flight to Vancouver.
Which is an interesting comment by Jan Hayda after the Columbus game that the Sharks lost 3-0. Steve Mason put in a great performance. And Jan Hayda specifically said something about... the top line, and he said they just weren't. He said, I don't want to say something stupid, but in the second period, I was thinking, why are they playing like this? they weren't as dangerous as they usually are, Hayda said. Maybe it's because they're going to the Olympics and don't want to get hurt. This is not normal. They are different. So Jan Hayda, a little outspoken. Nice to see that quote.
Interesting.
Let's trade for Jan Hayda. Good quote.
I'm not sure if that was the reason. As I was watching that game, I more was thinking they're thinking ahead to tomorrow.
Yeah.
They already were in Detroit mentally, I think, and they took Columbus for granted, and Columbus beat them. You know, they're playing for their jobs, a lot of them. Some of them might be in new addresses in the next couple of weeks, so they're playing for their lives with the new coach. So they responded.
Yeah.
They beat us. They beat us pretty soundly. You know, yeah. It wasn't even that close.
Sharks put up 20 shots in the third period. I mean, they tried to make a game of it, but...
Too late. Steve Mason kind of found himself a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. He did.
He played well.
For a guy that's been kind of really disappointing, he certainly wasn't disappointing. And the funny thing is the last time we played in Detroit this season, we played in Detroit twice per season, we also played Columbus the night before. So both nights at the Joe were at the second hand of a back-to-back against Columbus. And the first time we beat Columbus in the shootout, and we lost to Detroit at the Joe the first time in the shootout. So got a point in the first one. You know, I'm not happy with the performance. I'm happy with the win. Is there another way to put it?
No, that's the perfect way to put it, dude.
All right.
Dude, there's a new sheriff in town.
New sheriff. I call him Nick the Nickname. His name is Nicholas Vallien. He was traded to the Sharks from the Carolina Hurricanes for a second-round pick, and we also got a fifth-round pick for Nicholas Vallien. At the time, I wasn't so sure I liked this trade, but considering Montreal traded a second-round pick for Dominic Moore today, that trade looks a little bit better from the Sharks' perspective, don't you think?
Yeah, when you even look at that, Dallas traded for Kari Lehtinen, who's a guy who hasn't even played a single game in the NHL this year. Plus, wow. He only played 46 games last year. Mm. They traded their top defensive prospect, a guy who was an AHL All-Star this year. He's 21 years old. You might remember him. Ivan Vyshnevsky, the guy who scored the own goal in the game that we saw. And they gave him a fourth-round pick for a goalie who hasn't been able to even play a full season in 3 years.
That's right.
So the price is high out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
The carry price is high out there right now. Hi-ho.
Hey now.
But for the Sharks to be able to get a guy with playoff experience, which obviously Doug Wilson loves that. He values it more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Guy who's won a cup. He's been around. To me, Wallin's role is to replace Jay Leach when Vlasic comes back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's going to be his role. That's what he should be doing. And the thing that we talked about tonight during the game is, dude, he just doesn't seem to make mistakes.
He just does not screw up. We've only seen him for 3 games. I wrote on the blog that we got to wait a while to see because he played for Carolina. We didn't see him much. He was in the Eastern Conference. Speaking only for myself, it's too early to make a real judgment on how good of a player he is. But I've been reasonably happy with the way he's played. The guy just doesn't screw up. He just does not make bonehead plays. I have not seen a single one I can point to and say, that was brutal. And he had a point tonight, right? And this is a guy that had 5 points all year. He's already had a point. Third game.
He even made a few nice plays in on the rush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he led the rush a couple times. He did get a point. I certainly think it's a valuable addition. Now, where does he fit into the entire scheme? Well, you know, do I still think that leaves us in a little bit of an awkward spot?
Yes,
yeah,
it does a little bit
because that's not exactly the type of player that we needed. And, you know, is he going to be better than Jay Leach? Sure.
Yeah.
But when Leach is out, and certainly to me, this whole move is about that they do not believe that Jason Demers is ready.
That's right. It's stopped the Worcester shuttle for the time being. And frankly, you know, that's a good thing because we don't have Jason Demers on a plane twice a week. We don't have Derek Jocelyn on a plane twice a week.
That's right. The first place Worcester Sharks can continue to build on their Calder Cup run here.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I really like what I've seen in Demers.
Absolutely.
Obviously, I'm not an NHL hockey coach, and he must be doing something wrong. And obviously, going into the Stanley Cup playoffs, they certainly have a lot more faith in Nick Vallien than they do in Jason Demers.
Mm-hmm.
Will Demers probably be up as a healthy scratch? Probably.
Sure.
He'll probably be the one waiting in the wings, maybe. You know,
he'll be a black ace, right?
He might, or if they're still making a playoff run in Worcester, maybe they'll leave him there, and if something happened, they'd put him on a plane. But I like the move, dude. The question is, I know we're going to get to this later, is there more to come? But I know you found a little golden nugget here.
I did this week. Thanks to Jason Plank, Fear the Fin, they posted a link to this YouTube video of a Hurricanes guy interviewing Nicholas Vallien. So we're going to go through some questions and really get into what makes Nicholas Vallien tick, right? It's all about learning who the man is. And so, you know, here's the first question of the interview. Here we go.
Nick, what was your most embarrassing moment in the NHL?
Ooh. I don't think I had one so far.
Oh, he doesn't have an embarrassing moment so far, dude.
Really? I mean, what about that own goal that you could find all over YouTube?
Ooh. Ooh.
I love that. Ooh.
Hold on. Let me ask him a question. Okay. Hey, Nick, do you want to go grab something to eat?
Ooh.
How about maybe going to see the Wolfman tomorrow afternoon?
Ooh.
All right, so that was the first question. So we're off to a rousing start. We've really learned a lot about Nicholas Vallien so far. Here we go.
What was your first job?
I never had that. This is pretty much what I did.
Another good answer. So we're learning a lot.
He's a working man on the ice, dude.
We're really getting deep.
What else we got?
Okay, here we go.
What's your favorite road city?
Pittsburgh.
Maybe they were in Pittsburgh when this interview was done at the time.
I think that's got to be a joke. If you watch the video, he's laughing kind of as he says it. I feel like someone is behind the camera too. Like if you watch the YouTube video, he's clearly distracted by somebody.
Right.
Like Rod Brindamore's back there with like a shampoo like horn or
something. Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Something's going on.
Okay, here we go. Next question.
What's in your CD player right now?
Coldplay.
Uh-oh. Didn't take him long.
Coldplay?
What's wrong with that?
Is that a point against or a point for?
That's one of the most popular bands in the world, dude.
Coldplay?
For a 14-year-old boy.
Ah.
No, I can respect that. It could have been worse. What would have been worse? Willie Nelson?
Young Jeezy? I don't know. What would have been worse? Taylor Swift? Jonas Brothers would have been worse.
Little Bow Wow?
Little Bow Wow. Little Romeo, even.
That would have been bad. The Wiggles?
Wiggles.
What's in your CD player, Nick Vallien?
The Wiggles.
The Wiggles.
Oh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
All right, here we go. Now we're learning more about his family.
Okay.
What's the best advice your folks ever gave you?
Don't complain. Just work hard.
Just work hard.
I saw that on a t-shirt once.
And now this is by far my favorite question, and I think this may be more illuminating into Nick Vallien's character than any other question in the entire interview. You ready for this?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
What's your favorite food?
Hamburgers.
Hamburgers.
It almost sounds like hamburgies.
Let's hear that again.
Hamburgers.
Hamburgies.
Like the Swedish chef, dude. Hamburgies.
Oh, man. We shouldn't make fun of Swedish people, but that was pretty funny how he said hamburgers.
Come on, dude.
So let's see. Does this button work for hamburgers? Nope. That's not the hamburgers button. That's the ooh button. Maybe this is the hamburgers button.
Hamburgers.
Ooh, cool.
Oh, it's got the Christian Ehrhoff techno mix under it.
Wow, I got lots of good stuff.
Nice.
Here.
We're really high tech here tonight. That's right.
How do we stop this? I don't know how to stop it, dude. Oh, wait. There's the button. Okay.
There we go. Fire the engineer.
Okay, sorry. That's me.
Is that it?
Yeah, there's some other questions, but they're not quite as good.
Oh, they're so good. You can see the full video if you go to Fear the Fin.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm really glad you chopped that up. That was funny.
Yeah.
And we'll be using those sound effects forever.
Ooh.
So there it is. Your insight into Nicholas Vallien.
Welcome to San Jose, Nick, and we're looking forward to having you raise the cup here.
Just one quick thing. The fact that we're playing in Sweden, doesn't that help us re-signing Nicholas Vallien?
Sure, absolutely.
I wonder if that somehow factored into Doug Wilson's thinking about playing overseas.
Well, the whole thing was that Vallien wanted a contract extension, I guess.
That's the rumor. I don't know that.
And Wilson wouldn't do it, or it was the other way around. I thought Wilson
wanted a two-year and he wanted a one-year. That was one rumor I read. I have no idea.
Who knows? Well, I guess we'll find out. We'll probably sign him and trade him to Montreal anyways.
For 8 first-round draft picks.
I'm sorry.
All right, let's get to the listener questions, because we got a ton of them. The email address is questions@dudesonhockey.com. Of course, thank you so much for all of your input. It's really sort of the lifeblood that runs this show. Before I get to the questions from the listeners, dude, I must get to the statements made by the listeners vis-a-vis last week's poll. And I must say, you got smoked, my friend. It's time to pay up that beer, yo.
I got more votes than I honestly expected I would. I actually pulled 35% of the vote, dude.
Yeah.
So in some way, I take a moral victory. And I'm going to fully admit that I tried to find some way to rig the poll in the last, like, 3 days.
Are you serious?
To trick you.
Because I noticed that there was a lot more votes for no recently.
No. And I couldn't. I voted one time for no, but it would only let me do it once.
Oh.
So I was trying to figure out how to fix that.
So some people actually did vote for Mike's a Greedy Bastard for real.
Yeah, I think 15 people.
Well, there you go.
Did you vote yes, dude?
I did.
So it was 29 to 15 in reality.
That's not bad.
Okay, dude, the listeners have spoken and I will still not pay up.
Dude,
I will.
You better
I will.
Pay up.
I'll pay up. I won't.
You know, okay, first
cold,
question.
Cold day in hell.
How dare you, sir?
I will pay up at the next home game. Dude, I'm a man of my word.
Good, I'm glad. Otherwise, we're not making any more bets. All right, first question from Danny. New emailer.
Thanks. We got a lot of new emailers.
A lot of new emailers. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Danny.
Danny noticed that Ortmeier seems to be taking a lot of hits. He doesn't have the numbers to back this up, but that's just something I've noticed while watching the games. My observation was further reinforced after watching Jed show up on the top hits of the week highlights 2 weeks in a row as the player taking the hit and not making the hit. I was wondering if either of you had an opinion on the matter. Is it his style of play, or is he just not as aware of the other players on the ice?
Well, you know what they say. Jed Ortmeier's the next Josh Georges, dude.
Josh Georges sure took a hit this week. You see that?
My favorite thing on TSN after Bob Gainey got fired is they had a list of Bob Gainey's 5 best acquisitions you could vote, and one of them was trading for Josh Georges.
And that was among the best. Wow. That doesn't say much for Bob Gainey.
Oh, my God.
Well, my opinion, Danny, is that it's Ortmeier going to the tough areas on the ice. He's certainly willing to get physical. He's not the biggest guy. And so that sort of puts him in a position to take some bad hits. If he was 6'4", 260, then you wouldn't see him taking bad hits because you couldn't push him around. But he knows that how he earns his living is getting to those tough areas, as they say, as the cliche goes. And he's willing to mix it up with anybody at any time. And so that's why he's on the receiving end of some of those hits. It's just that simple.
Well said, dude. Well said.
All right. Next up, we got Darren. Olympic hockey question.
This is from Seattle Darren, right?
I don't think this is Seattle Darren. Am I wrong?
It is.
Oh, then I'm wrong?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, it's Darren. Oh, Darren from Seattle. Yeah.
Bingo.
I should read the words in the email.
As it clearly says, Darren from Seattle.
Note to self, read the words. Okay, Olympic hockey question. Of the Sharks Olympians, which player do you think stands to gain or lose the most confidence from their experience in the Olympics? Who do we need to have a good Olympic run to most benefit the Sharks? And then he actually types this, Nabokov. Best of luck getting over the plague. Well, no luck there, but what do you think about the Olympic question, dude?
I thought about it a lot, and I think that the player that could maybe be most affected by having success or failure is Joe Pavelski.
Joe Pavelski?
Yep, because I look at, you know, people say Joe Thornton's not a winner and Patrick Marleau's not a winner, but they've won a lot internationally.
Mm-hmm.
They've won, you know, Thornton won whatever, like a Swiss championship too or whatever in the lockout.
In Davos,
but they've experienced winning medals in, you know, international play. Whereas I don't think Pavelski has.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
Pavelski won at Wisconsin, I thought.
So if he won the NCAA championship, but for him, the main point is that for him to come off of having such a horrible playoff series last year against the Ducks and to maybe have a great Olympic run, I think that could only help his confidence because we really need him
mm-hmm.
to be successful in the playoffs, dude.
See, I'd go Joe Thornton because mm-hmm. this is the guy who's been stamped the hardest with the choker when the games mean the most situation. It's not going to erase any of the rumors or speculation surrounding him in terms of the Stanley Cup playoffs, but that might give him a little confidence. You know, gold medal game, Joe has 3 points. That could really buoy his confidence. If we come around and we have a hard first round matchup, God forbid, then maybe Joe can say, you know what? I can do this. I've done this before. I can do this again. And so that's why I would say Joe Thornton.
I guess my only counter to that would be is that Joe doesn't strike me as a very emotional player. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know if he's really affected by stuff like that. Like, I think he's kind of even keel Joe no matter what. I mean, we saw him, his shell crack in game five last year when he
right.
you know, beat the tar out of Getzlaff for the opening faceoff.
Mm-hmm.
Was that five or six?
I think it was five.
So that was really, you know, when he showed a ton of emotion. But I hope it's everybody does well, and I hope most importantly nobody gets hurt.
Yeah, that's the big thing, right?
Right,
that's the big thing.
Except for maybe Keith and Seabrook. I wouldn't mind that so much.
That wouldn't be so bad. Okay, so now we have a question from Marius, or it could be Marius.
I'm going to go Marius.
Okay, who is from Cologne, Germany?
Hey, another international listener.
That's awesome. Although he does hope to relocate to DC within the next month. So,
hello, Governor. Oh,
God, not again.
Oh.
Anyway, that's not even close. Hello, Governor.
I'll be back.
Although Arnold Schwarzenegger's
He's from Austria.
He's Austrian.
Sorry.
Anyway.
Okay, we apologize.
But his question is, how do you see the Sharks' playoff prospects in comparison to last year? For me, there are three main areas of concern, which are backup goaltending, defense, and the second line. What do you think, dude? Comparison to last year, where the Sharks stack up?
I think we've kind of targeted three areas, and two of those are similar with us. I think backup goaltending, I mean, in his question, he says, do we have the confidence that Greiss would be able to come in and steal a playoff series, dude? Do you?
No, of course I don't have the confidence that he's going to come in and steal a playoff series.
Yeah,
That's
I
not
don't
why
either.
You have a backup goaltender. You have
no.
a backup goaltender in case the number one goaltender gets hurt.
Okay.
I mean,
but if something happened, would Greiss be able to take you to the Stanley Cup?
I doubt it. I think he's played well as of late, and that's kind of all you can know. I mean, could we really say the same thing about Brian Boucher last year? Brian Boucher lost his job quick in Philadelphia this year. It's not right. like Brian Boucher's been tearing up the league.
Sure. I think the thing that Greiss, you know, I have a wisp of confidence in him because based on how he totally stole a playoff series from Hartford last year in the first round of the Calder Cup.
Mm.
Now, that's not the same thing.
No.
But, you know, the Worcester Sharks team there, they were like the last team to get in.
Yeah, there was a 1-8 matchup and Greiss won the series.
And he won the series for them.
Yep.
I mean, and he totally stole it and he kept them in the series against Providence too and played extremely well. So I've seen Greiss play at a high level. Now, on the NHL level, it'll translate. But it certainly isn't as good of a situation as some other teams have where, you know, you've got, you know, Varlamov and Theodore and mm-hmm. and some other...
Although Varlamov is a complete unknown. The only tandem I can honestly think of right now that may... where the backup might be able to steal is if Kari Lehtinen is healthy and Marty Turco gets hurt and Lehtinen plays in the playoffs and they somehow make the playoffs, which mm-hmm. they're not in right now.
Right.
But that's the only tandem I can think of right now that... Or maybe... Maybe Chicago, actually, because what's his name? I can't remember his name.
Niemi?
Yeah, Niemi. Niemi's played.
Well, how about Detroit?
Yeah.
You're going to count out Osgood
that's
when it's
true.
On the line?
Yeah.
I'm surely not going to do that. Anyway, so that's one area.
Okay.
I would say, you know, the second line's important. And yes, their lack of production last year hurt us. But I think the most important thing is, did the Sharks address their bottom six, which we've talked about more? Mm-hmm. I think that's much more important. And
absolutely.
I certainly think that they did.
Absolutely.
They and did. That's going to be a big boost for us, right, dude?
And Manny Malhotra is a big key to that. It's sad that he's hurt right now. I think he's a big key to this team. And he might be sort of a... under-the-radar MVP kind of type for the Sharks because, you know, kills penalties, wins a lot of face-offs, plays strong every night. Manny Malhotra is a big deal for me.
You show me a man who would rather have Greer, Moe, and Gotch, Claude Lemieux, and Pleahall over Malhotra, Ortmeier, Nickel, Mitchell, and McGinn, and I'll show you a whoa man.
That's right.
Okay?
There's no choice there.
Dude, and then defense? Ooh, this is the big question.
That's the question.
Is Wallin enough? Can Rob Blake truly log... playoff minutes, 20 plus minutes a night on every game, dude?
We're gonna find out. It's just that
that's not a good dude. Can he do it?
I think he can. It's not optimal. I mean, we've made a lot of comparisons to other defensive core in the Western Conference. We've talked about Chicago, we've talked about Calgary, we've talked about Detroit, we've even talked about LA. I'm not sure the Sharks match up well against any of those, but it might still be enough. It might still be enough. I mean, Pittsburgh had Hal Gill, you know. I mean, Pittsburgh had some, you know, Mark Eaton.
Watching them go around Rob Blake took two horrible penalties
right.
at the end of regulation and in overtime.
Right.
I mean, he almost lost the game for the Sharks tonight. His lack of mobility, Yeah. And he just seems to be making big mistakes, dude.
Yeah, it's a little hot and cold because sometimes he looks like he's playing well and smart, like a wily veteran, and sometimes he just looks like a slow pylon. So I do want to make one thing because Marius mentioned Seto here in the end, and he says, in Seto's case, when you see him on the ice, you can see what a great player he could be, but for some reason, he just does not get the job done. Okay, so I've talked about Seto in the radio show last Sunday. I want to pull out a stat. Pavel Datsyuk, okay?
Yes, your boyfriend.
My boyfriend, Pavel Datsyuk, who I made the comment tonight that I would trade Pavel Datsyuk straight up for any person in the league except for Alexander Ovechkin.
All right, if you want to do a poll question and show how wrong you are, we'll throw that one out there this week. Okay.
Datsyuk for Crosby, I would do it.
Okay. Anyway, we're going to put that on the poll question. We'll see if anybody else would do that trade.
But anyway, here's a stat. Okay, that's a secondary thing. Okay. But here's a stat. Setoguchi is 23 years old. Do you know how many points Datsyuk scored when he was 23?
40.
Less. He scored 35 points when he was 23 years old. You know how many points Seto scored when he was 22? He scored 65 points at 22. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Datsyuk scored 51 points at 24, and he finally got his groove and scored 68 points when he was 25 years old. Seto is still 2 years away from that.
Right. But was Datsyuk in a position on those Detroit teams that he was being asked to play the kind of role that Seto's being asked to play? Was he in the top six forwards?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
I'm going to guess by those numbers, no.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem is, and where I agree with this is Marius's question, right? Is that, you know, Seto's being asked to do, you know, the work that we need those 60 points from him.
Right.
You know, and he's not coming through. And but by no stretch of the imagination am I ready to say Devin Setoguchi is a bust.
No. I mean, I think you wait a while. And to me, I think you can't say now that Setoguchi, I mean, he's having a setback. He's having a bad sophomore year, just like, I don't know, Steve Mason.
But it's certainly not from lack of effort.
No.
Not from lack of effort.
Okay, let's move on because we have more emails.
Yeah.
The first of two from Dimitri. Here's the main question. Have we made a mistake in trading Erhoff? Straight up, that's the question.
Are you asking me for an answer?
He's having his best season ever. 11 goals.
Okay, well, let me put it to you this way. Would you rather have Christian Erhoff, or would you rather have Nickel Malhotra, Ort Meyer, and some of Nick Walling?
And some of Danny Heatley, don't forget.
Okay, well, we're not putting Heatley in that. You could have Erhoff, or you could have those four guys.
I'd have those four guys.
Yeah, that was the decision Doug Wilson had to make. He had to choose between Vlasic and Erhoff. He chose Vlasic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the end of the year, if Erhoff's raising the cup with Vancouver and we're sitting at home, then he made the wrong choice.
That's right.
But I think they had to cut the cord with Erhoff because he'd run his course here. We'd seen enough, and I'm glad he's having a great year. Well, okay, I'm not glad. But hey, hindsight's 2020. You know what I mean? Or, you know, you can't shoot a pigeon with a peacock or whatever that saying is.
I have no idea what you're talking about. All right. David says... he was also reading Fear the Fin, popular blog that Fear the Fin.
It's a good blog.
And they mentioned Thomas Caberle as potential Sharks trade, along with Jan Hayda, I might add.
Yeah.
He does have a no-trade clause, but it was mentioned he'd be willing to waive it for contenders like the Blackhawks or the Sharks. Would you like to see another offensive contributing defenseman like Caberle, or do players like Corvo, Weidman, Boschman, or Seidenberg seem like better picks?
Yes, 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 no.
No one.
Yeah, I don't know. all those guys sound like nice additions to this team, but there's reasons why some would fit and some wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't heard Caberle would be willing to come to the West Coast, period.
Right.
You know, a lot of these guys aren't willing to do that with their no trades, dude. What's your take specifically on Caberle becoming a Shark?
My take specifically on Caberle is it's a lot of money. He's got a year left at over $4 million. That's going to jam up the Sharks majorly in terms of all the signings they need to happen. I would say no to Caberle.
But what if you're sending Klo in return?
Mm-hmm.
And so then now you're just really talking like, then they'd have to take something else like Staubitz or some other throw-in. You know, and now we're talking the money's a bit of a wash. I mean, what if it was Klo and Torrey Mitchell for Caberle? And the money is a wash then.
It's a close call. It's a close call. You know.
This guy's the highest scoring defenseman in the league.
I know.
Are you saying you wouldn't want to put him on the power play, dude?
No, I can't say that. I just can't. I just don't. I don't know.
I would make that trade. I'd make it tonight.
Okay.
I would do it.
If it were for Chloe, then I'd make the trade. If they wanted first-round draft picks and prospects, then I wouldn't
do it. They can't have that, and it's not going to work. The Sharks aren't in a position to make that kind of deal. They did that with Wallin. Any trade they make from here, dude, it's got to be roster players.
All right. What about Korva, Weidman, Boschman, and Seidenberg? How would you rank those guys?
Oh, gosh. I would rank Boschman probably first because I think he would balance out Dan Boyle the best.
Okay.
And I think his offense is underrated. And I think I would probably put... Oh, God. Korva and Seidenberg are both unrestricted, and I think the price is going to be too high, so I'd probably put them at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably put Weidman in the middle. But, dude, I'm going to throw out a name that's not on that list. Why aren't we talking about Marek Zidlicky?
Because he just got signed there, right?
No.
He's not on the market.
Yeah, well, he's unrestricted at the end of this year. Now, this is the same kind of thing with Korva and Seidenberg. But, you know, if we're talking about GVT, you're one of your favorite stats, dude. You want to explain what that is?
It's a goals versus threshold. It's a crazy stat invented, I believe, by Tom Awad of Puck Prospectus. And if you go to behindthenet.ca, you can get all the rankings, which is sort of an overall stat comparable kind of to win shares in baseball. It's an all-encompassing stat that you can rate everybody against everybody else.
If you're going to get someone like Seidenberg or Korva, you know, then Zidlicky is definitely the same kind of player. He always has 40-something points. He can play the power play. He's second on their team in GVT with 8.3. That would make him the second best Sharks defenseman.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, we need some long-term cap relief. We're not going to get into that tonight.
Yeah.
But how about Huskin, Stobbins, and Chloe for Zidlicky and Owen Nolan, dude?
Yeah.
Dude?
Maybe.
Now, that would be about $6 million of cap relief, too, next year.
Yeah, these are good trades.
Tempting.
I have to move on, dude. We're running out of time.
Oh, come on. I love to talk GM stuff.
I know.
Those are all good ideas. Thanks for tossing them out there.
Yeah.
I would still put the odds on Doug Wilson pulling off something like that at about, I'd say it's 20%.
Right. Yeah. Not that likely. Okay. Final question from Dimitri. He says, this is a pathetic attempt to snatch a Dudes on Hockey t-shirt. He's going to Vancouver to follow Team Russia. If I get your t-shirt, I promise to wear it every day wherever I go, proudly representing your show in the heart of the Olympics. What do you say? I say, you're on, baby.
That's right.
I say, we're sending you a t-shirt.
Dude, we're going to the Olympics.
We're going to the Olympics, dude.
Dude, what do you have to say about that?
I say, dude.
Dude.
Yeah. Or?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I say both of that. And I wish I could say hamburgers, but it's not working. So, yeah, Dimitri, I'm going to send it tomorrow. You got yourself a shirt. See, listeners, this is the kind of innovative stuff I was talking about earlier in past shows about getting yourself a limited edition Dudes on Hockey t-shirt because, like I said before, these are not for sale. These can only be won or earned. And Dimitri, good idea. Great idea promoting the show in a hockey mad town at a hockey mad time. This is good thinking.
Yeah. You know what, Dimitri? I think we might throw in a few business cards in there, too. Pass those suckers out, baby.
Right.
Spread the word.
That's right.
I think we've been getting a lot of new listeners. We've been hearing from all kinds of new people. Please send us your emails at questions@dudesonhockey.com so that we can continue to answer your questions on the air, or send us emails, or you can look us up on Facebook.
That's right.
We've been getting a lot of people posting on the Facebook page. And we certainly will have some downtime here with the Sharks regular season coming to a halt. The Olympics, dude. We've got some exciting things coming up next week.
We got some good plans for the next few podcasts, but I do want to talk about a contest because Dimitri gave me an idea.
Yes?
A Dudes on Hockey t-shirt to the listener that emails us at questions@dudesonhockey.com with the best idea for promoting the podcast.
Ooh.
And it has to be, you know, I mean, you know,
reasonably.
Taking out an ad in the New York Times, not going to happen, right? We don't have thousands of dollars to spend on advertising.
We could do that.
We don't have thousands of dollars to spend on advertising.
You're right.
Billboards, not going to happen. So, best idea to promote the podcast. You don't actually have to implement the idea. Just best idea. And you get yourself a t-shirt.
That sounds fair.
We'll send you a t-shirt.
What do we got coming up in the next week or two? Do you got any sort of preview, or should we let it be a surprise?
I think we should let it be a surprise. We got some special stuff coming up next week, especially.
We do.
And we've got some more things on the horizon I'm trying to line up for the show. So.
That's right. We might not even just be hearing from Dimitri from the Olympics. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it. So anyway, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We will be back, hopefully, at our regularly scheduled time next week, talking about, of course, the Buffalo game and the Olympics and lots of other things that we can talk about, long-term Sharks Horizon stuff. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you then.
Hamburgies.
the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.